Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, if you've been with us throughout the summer, you know we are doing a series on all of the previous series I've done for the last 3 years. In fact, I think we're about number, 18, 19, 20 of them we've done this summer. And the portrait of God that we'll be talking about today is how He is our gift giver. It was an 8-part series earlier this year on the spiritual gifts, because the Lord is indeed our gift giver. It's number 109 if you go scrolling to look for it at my website at markpg.org. Because again, today I'm just going to do an overview of the series to give you a peek at it. And then if the Lord really piques your interest to go deeper, again, you can go to markpg.org. Just press on the broadcast box and then on the Portraits of God box, start scrolling, and you'll find the entire series. But today, I can't wait just to unpack this for you because there are three types of spiritual gifts given to us in the scriptures. There's a list of 20 that we're going to be going over in these three different categories. And so because He is our gift giver, we want to make sure and be grateful and receive them because we all have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. I love doing these portraits of God. You know, we've been talking about how He's our daily grace, how He's our chief shepherd. He is our humble heart. He is our ultimate gift and so many more. So I hope you've been enjoying this summer series of overviews of what we have been discovering together in our journey through the love letters of the Lord that we call the scriptures. So as we get started, as is our custom, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, I'm just so grateful for the opportunity You've given me just to come together with my brothers and sisters, just to sit at Your feet, gaze in Your eyes, and let You speak to us heart to heart. And Lord, as we're seeing how You are our gift giver by Your Holy Spirit, how You've given us personal spiritual gifts, how You have given us situational spiritual gifts and positional spiritual gifts, I pray I'll do the subject justice. I pray this portrait will be painted in such a way that we can be so grateful for how You have uniquely created each of us and how we can serve in Your kingdom, giving You glory using the gifts that You've given us. Oh, thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. Can't wait to see what You have for us today. And we thank You, Lord, and we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends, we're going to start over in Romans chapter 12. And as you're making your way there, I'll just give you the alert. We're going to also go to Ephesians chapter 4. And then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Because we're going to see three different categories of spiritual gifts. We're starting with the personal spiritual gifts in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. And here's what the scripture says right there for us as we discover how the Lord is our gift giver. All right, Romans 12:3. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Now, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. All right, now we're going to get to the section where it lists seven personal spiritual gifts, but let me just pause for a moment and explain that these are the personal spiritual gifts. They're kind of like they're our heart wiring, that at birth, I believe we are given these, a combination, actually. I think we are given pretty much two dominant personal gifts, most of us, out of the seven, though we get little tweaks of the others. And then as we come to Christ and grow in Christ, we begin to take on more and more of these personal spiritual gifts. But we start off with a couple of them, apparently, because we do have these gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. And I love his analogy of the body. You know, your hands are important, but so are your eyes and your ears and your feet and all the other members of your body. But they're so different from each other. So don't try to compare relative importance, because they all have their importance in our body, and so it is in the body of Christ. And now we're going to get ready to see these seven personal heart-wired gifts that God embeds with us in his unique creation. In fact, this is a good time to mention this. There are so many combinations and degrees of these gifts that were given that there are literally hundreds of thousands of possibilities. You think, now what? Well, sure, like when you go to Home Depot or Lowe's to buy some paint, or Sherman Williams, wherever you go, you know, you always buy a base paint, right? But you look at all those different color swatches, you know, the little cards, and tons of greens, tons of blues, tons of even white, and you pick one of those, and I'm just amazed at how when you go to the counter and you hand them that little tab and they see what color green or blue you've picked, there's a code. And they put that base paint, gallon of base paint on this machine, and they plug in the number, and then they press a button, and little drops of red or green or black or no, and different amounts go into that base paint. And then what happens? Yeah, you know, they shake it up, and voila, when it's finished and they open up the lid, you got your very specific shade of green. And it's all because of those little bitty drops of color in different degrees that they put into the base paint. Well, that's us. God puts these little bitty drips, some more than others, of color or personal spiritual gifts. We have some dominant ones, and then the others are more subordinate. But again, as I said earlier, as we grow in Christ likeness, we take on more of the gifts because Christ had all the gifts. So now that I've piqued your interest, let's look at the list here in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8, as we look at the personal spiritual gifts, later at the positional spiritual gifts, and then the situational spiritual gifts. All right, here we go. The Romans 12 personal spiritual gifts, we're to exercise them accordingly. They all differ. Here we go. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. He who teaches, in his teaching. All right, we got three thus far. Now verse 8. He who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, or administrations in some translations, with diligence. And he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. So there we have it. Prophecy, teaching, exhortation, administration or leading, service, giving, and mercy. Now, as I describe these briefly in this overview today, let me just say this. It unfolds in that there are three what we call extroverted gifts, and then there's three introverted gifts for those that are quiet and behind the scenes, and then there's a bridge, a gift in between, administrations. It can be either extroverted or introverted, so let's talk about them. And by the way, to explain them, I also use animal metaphors to help us really get a picture of what it's like to have these particular personal spiritual gifts, and as I describe them, you might put a check mark by the one or two that reflects you and your mate if you're married, your children if you have kids, your bosses, your teachers, your coaches, anybody in your life. Many may come to your mind as I'm defining these gifts and using these animal metaphors. All right, here we go. Number one, prophecy. This is declaring the black and white heart truths of God. These are the born leaders, the visionary types, kind of like eagles. They fly high, they see the big picture, they've got a strong, powerful presence about them. They declare, don't just speak, they declare the black and white heart truths of God. They see things black and white. You're in or you're out, you're hot or you're cold, you're on or you're off. They see very little gray area. That's why they declare, they prophesy or preach or speak boldly, hence the eagle metaphor. And these people can be very intimidating, and they don't even realize how intimidating they are. Now, when we think about this, you can think about examples throughout Scripture about, you know, those that preached boldly or spoke boldly and all. And there's so many examples I could give you. You know, John the Baptist is one, and in real life, but that's for the series. Again, it's an 8-part series. But there you go. You got an eagle, the prophecy, the gift of prophecy. Now let's go to the gift of teaching. I use the tiger as a metaphor because they love to just devour the Word of God. They love the meat of the Word of God. Here's how I define that. As opposed to declaring the black and white heart truths of God like the prophet eagle, the teacher tiger, explaining the comprehensive biblical insights of God. These are the preachers or teachers you've had that have the outlines, the infographics. They're the ones that have all of the different portions of Scripture coming in because they like to preach the entire counsel of God in one setting. But of course, they have to spread it out and all. But that is what makes them unique. The prophet eagle who teaches or preaches, basic black and white truth, 1 or 2, 3 points, you're done. Teacher, many more things than that. Lots of subpoints. And they drive each other crazy because they're used to doing it their way and get confused when somebody's doing it differently or irritated or frustrated. But don't. We just have gifts that differ according to the grace given us. Now let's go to number 3. We have the prophecy eagle, teaching is the tiger, exhortation's the dolphin. Why? Because exhortation is motivating the body of Christ to apply God's truths. It's not enough just to preach it and teach it. It's about motivating people to do God's truths. These are the life of the party people. They're the encouragers. They're the ones that make you feel like $1 million. They're the ones who can motivate people to get out there. We can do this. They put their arm around you. Their party's waiting to happen. They're the life of the party. They're the sparkle in the room. They're the fudge on the hot fudge sundae. You know people like that? Sure. Well, these are the 3 extroverts, strong personality types: prophecy eagle, teacher tiger, and exhortation dolphin. Now, the administration gift or leading, I use the ant, and that's out of Proverbs chapter 6. It says to consider the ant, O sluggard, and all. It's organizing and mobilizing the body of Christ for ministry. All right, it's one thing to preach it, one thing to teach it, one thing to motivate people to do something, but you got to have somebody who's going to organize and mobilize them. Let's get organized. These are the people whose closets and pantries and garages are all in order. They're the guys and the gals who love to create teams and checklists and all. Oh, how we need the gift of administration among us. They're the ones who look ahead, and they're detail-oriented. Proverbs 6, 6 through 8 gives us a great picture of the ant as a great metaphor here. And they can be extroverted or introverted. Either way, they have a great role in the body of Christ. Now that brings us to the 3 introverted gifts, not any less important, but there are far more of these folks than there are in the first few categories. I mean, top 10% or so in the first few categories of specialty gifts as leaders, but you got to have a lot of followers, a lot of helpers, a lot of workers. So here are the 3 from Romans 12 that are given to us. Number 5, again, we had number 1, prophecy eagle, then teacher tiger, exhortation dolphin, now administration ant, and service squirrel. The gift of service. A squirrel loves to do things backstage. Don't try to pet it. Don't try to put it on stage. Squirrels love to do things backstage for others and for God's glory. Backstage. The first 4 are on stage, organizing and leading and teaching and preaching and motivating and all. But the gift of service are the people who love to do the Wednesday night suppers. They love to do the fix-it jobs. They love to do the lawn. They'd love to do the remodeling and the setup, but don't make them stand on stage behind a microphone or do anything up front. Oh, I love those with the gift of service. Wow. Lots of stories there too. Make sure and go to the series if you get a chance. Okay, number 6 is a gift of giving. Honeybee is a good example here. Honeybee, what do? They make honey for us to have. It's giving something tangible, distributing tangible gifts of God to others in His name. Those with the gifts of service do tasks backstage for others, but these people like to give money. They like to give food. They like to donate free tickets to the ball game. They like to do all those kinds of concrete things with a generous heart. They're alert to give, but they're humble. They don't want to be highlighted. Man, we've met people like that. They just love to give. Now, we should all give. And again, as we get more Christ-like, we get as generous as Jesus did. Now, let's go to number 7. It's the gift of mercy. The gift of mercy. Dove is a good metaphor here. These are sensitive and compassionate people, comforting and reassuring others of their high value to God. They're the ones who see the people who may have a downcast spirit in church one particular Sunday or at a fellowship or in a restaurant, and they just start chatting with them and offering to pray for them. Oh, we need those with the gift of mercy. Very different than those with the gift of prophecy. And by the way, God tends to put opposites together so that in that marriage, each mate can contribute their unique personal spiritual gift, perspective, and viewpoint in any situation that comes up, and you can get more and more of a balanced approach to it because they've learned how to appreciate each other's gifts and not get frustrated because they don't totally understand or agree with them. So we go through a lot of this in the series, and it's number 109, as I mentioned. But those are the personal spiritual gifts. But now let's look at the positional spiritual gifts. We're going to go over to Ephesians chapter 4 to get a peek at that. And over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says this. It says, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." And then verse 11, "He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as shepherds," or pastors, teachers, "for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, for the building up of the body of Christ." I love that. Now, there's 4 listed here. And in this list of 20, we looked at the first 7, which was under the category of personal spiritual gift. Number 8, 9, 10, and 11 is under the category of positional spiritual gifts, a role in the body of Christ. Apostles, that literally means one sent out. You can think in terms of missionaries. They're sent out on a mission with a focus. Maybe a church planter. They have that entrepreneur spirit. So there's one that is sent out with a focus and the gifts to start fresh new works of God. Oh, I love those with this kind of spirit, this church planting spirit, this entrepreneurial spirit. They're rare, but they're there. And God uses them. All kinds of stories in the scripture about that. Prophets. These are forth-tellers, not foretellers. They're the preachers. They're the apologists. They're one with a focus or gift to boldly preach the core heart truths of God. See, that dovetails with the personal spiritual gift about declaring the black and white heart truths of God. God sends out prophets, we have it throughout the scripture, who are forth tellers, boldly, clearly, exactly what God once said and the way he wants it said. I love that. Well, number 10 is evangelists. This is spreading the good news, sharing Jesus, the gospel. This is one with a focus and the gifts to preach, share, and draw the lost to Jesus Christ. Obviously, Billy Graham comes to mind, but it doesn't have to be huge crusades. It can be one-on-one and everything in between. They just have a heart to share the good news of the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. God has gifted them to be able to draw the net with invitations to become one with him, to enter the covenant family. Oh, my friends, I tell you, those that have this gift are a real joy to be with and learn from, and then go thou and do likewise. Well, then the 11th, and it's the 4th in this passage, the 4th positional spiritual gift is the shepherd, poimen, literally is what it means in the Greek New Testament, but we've used the English word pastor for that. So you can say pastor, teacher, because poimen is used sometimes interchangeably that way. And this is the shepherd metaphor, as I said. This is one with a focus to oversee and nurture and comfort and feed and train the church of Jesus Christ, the people of God. For what? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Of course, all 4 are charged with doing that. But these are the positional gifts that we have. Now let's come to the situational spiritual gifts. This is over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 and then 8 through 11. And here's what the Bible says there. It says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And for to one is given the..." Oops, I lost my place there. "For to one is given..." There it is in verse 8. "For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But," and here's verse 11, so important, "one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills." Now, friends, these are these more the supernatural manifestations than we normally see in the other gifts. This word of wisdom, it's the God-given insights privately or in groups regarding timely situations. It's like you're in a staff meeting and really wrestling with something, and somebody says, "Wait a minute, what if we did this?" And everybody goes, "Whoa, why didn't we think of that sooner?" That was a word of wisdom dropped down like a gracelet or a raindrop from heaven. The Lord's seeing what we're struggling with, drops it down for that moment, that situation, boom, there's a word of wisdom. Word of knowledge, that's God-given personal facts about others to spark a timely faith in God. This is an unusual thing. Sometimes God just tells you something about another person. You just sense it's a droplet that comes down. It's not normal, but sometimes he does that to get our attention, to draw us closer to himself, and understand the reality of a supernatural God. Now, I know I'm going over these quickly because this is an overview, but we really drill deeply in the series. MarkPG.org. You can just go there. Now, the word of faith. God-given surge of trust in God's great wisdom, acts, and timing. Sometimes we need that surge of faith, that droplet from above, that gift from above for that situation that we're struggling in, just to get us over the hump. And then number 15 is healing. The droplet, sometimes God chooses to creatively bring a timely spiritual, emotional, and physical restoration. All kinds of healings, not only physical. And God loves to do that. And he'll drop it down. We just have to receive it and speak it. Number 16, miracles. God-given supernatural experiences and events to help increase faith. We've heard all kinds of stories throughout the scriptures and from the mission field and even in our own churches of God doing some very unusual things that he'll sometimes drop down as a faith booster, the little droplet of a miracle at that moment, at that time, in that situation. Love that. Number 17, prophecy. God-given proclamations of truth based on infallible word of God. Always has to be based on the word of God, but sometimes God can just give someone a word that's so timely, so powerful, that it really makes a huge difference in the life of the people that they're talking to, or the church, or the group, whatever the case may be. Distinguishing of spirits is number 18 that we saw in the text. This is the God-given ability to discern demonic, that is, or fleshly, or sinful dynamics at play. In women, we call it women's intuition. We get alarm bells. We get a red light. We get a check in our spirit. Something's in our gut saying something's not right here. Something doesn't smell right. That's the distinguishing of spirits, my friends. We just give it a lot of earthly kinds of names. And then we get speaking in tongues and interpreting tongues to round it out. Speaking in tongues is a God-given personal prayer language or a timely public statement. There are these two types. The God-given personal prayer language is for your personal quiet time, and it's a faith-boosting time. And again, we get into all of this very specifically. Sometimes God gives a word in a group through someone, but it needs to be interpreted. 1 Corinthians 14 makes that clear, that if there's going to be this kind of a tongue where it's for a group and it's to be interpreted to bless the people, well, then God needs to do two things. He will drop down that gracelet or that droplet of a speaking of a tongue for that group. Somebody will speak it, but then somebody will say, "I've got the interpretation, I believe." And then they speak what they believe the interpretation is, and the body there bears witness whether that's of God or not. Now, I know that for many, these are kind of, strange, maybe even a little scary. Certainly, it's been controversial over the years. I'm just saying this. The Lord is our gift giver, who gives us a personal spiritual gift out of Romans 12 that we're heartwired with in different mixtures, and that's what makes us so unique and different from each other. He gives us positional spiritual gifts like apostles, prophets, evangelists, and shepherds or pastor teachers for the body of Christ to lead us. But then he provides these situational spiritual gifts that you cannot own. You can't use at will. You just have to have the ability to sense in your spirit when the Spirit of God is moving in and bringing down a droplet or gracelet of a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge or faith or healing or miracles or prophecy or distinguishing of spirit or speaking in tongues or interpreting in tongues. But again, verse 11 here in 1 Corinthians 12 says this, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. So there's no such thing really as a healer. Jesus is the only healer, but it'll give somebody the gift of healing sometimes. Same thing with all the other things. I love how this unfolds. Our Lord, our God, is the gift giver who gives us these 20 listed spiritual gifts in these three categories and these three passages that we can cultivate them and watch for them and receive them as grateful recipients of the spiritual gifts from the gift giver above. Wow. Well, thank you, Lord. We receive this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org. Oh, until next time, fall in love with Jesus, our gift giver.